Reen, we had a conversation yesterday, a pretty long conversation. I was kind of distressed, you know, struggling with the challenges of life, a couple of things. But we just had a conversation before we started the recording because I forgot to hit the record button on time, which is terrible and annoying. Yeah, but I'm also happy to report I feel significantly better today. I got a much better like sleep score. I got an 85% sleep score last night. That's pretty good. Recovery is still on its way up, but yeah, we're making progress. So yeah, I'm happy to be back on track.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
No, that I can definitely tell that you've slept better.
Yeah.
Just saying. Okay, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. We just talked about, you know, health. You had an incident at home. I also recently had a health incident at home, and we talked about how that... yeah, it's something to remind us of the fragility of our human body. We clarified that fragility is actually a word, so that's good.
Well, we agreed it was. We don't know.
We're not certain, yeah. But I think it is a word.
Yeah.
And we also talked about, and something, this is something I want to get into. You mentioned this sort of like on the side as a side note, but I think it's actually quite important. You mentioned that nowadays, we actually have access, and especially us in our privileged positions, we do actually have access to a lot of the infrastructure and the technology and also the knowledge to take really good care of our health. But for some reason, it's still sometimes difficult to actually follow through with that and use that information, that infrastructure, to actually improve our own health or take care of it. And specifically on this part of like using technology and infrastructure, this might be a bit of a long loop, right? So I'm going to start with the basic thing. So right now I'm contemplating of buying an iPad. Okay. And let me get to the point how this is connected to health and everything. Basically, I mean, this seems kind of superficial because it just seems like a purchase decision, right? But to me, what I've been really thinking about these past couple of weeks is how we as humans can leverage the existing technology in this world that is already available to us to really extend our abilities as humans, to do more things, to create things, and to just be better at being human, right? And I think in that sense, there is a connection between technology and health also, because for example, like both of us, we're both wearing our super cool Whoops, right? And this is like a perfect example of like a piece of technology that allows us to do something that we as regular humans without technology simply wouldn't be able to do. We wouldn't be able to tell so precisely how well we slept last night. And we wouldn't be able to keep track of all of that information in our heads and build the graph in our heads. So yeah, maybe I think you also have an iPad. Maybe we can just start with the basic thing of what your experience is. And then maybe we can find like a loop to how that relates to other things.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have my laptop and then I have my iPad. And honestly, I use both like a lot. So I don't know. I guess it depends on what you want to use it for, but I'm really happy with my iPad because it's just like the easy iOS.
It's actually called iPad OS by now, or Pad OS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, so but it's the same like system as in your iPhone mostly. Yeah. So it's like really easy to use and has mostly everything, but it's also much bigger, and I have the Magic Keyboard, so I can like take it anywhere, and I could even use it as like a laptop to write anything. So it's just really easy to use. I guess that's the main thing. It's really easy to use, really easy to like take everywhere, and then it's just that you have everything you can want. So I don't know. Like I, it looks like I'm selling iPad. So it looks like I'm doing these reviews.
<I'm buying it>.
Like. Why you should buy an iPad in 2024. But no, yeah, I'm just really happy with it. Like, when I bought my laptop, I thought maybe I'm not going to use my iPad, but I just use them both. So, yeah, I don't know. Tell me why you want to buy an iPad, because I've never heard you talk about that before. So, I don't know.
Yeah, for me, there's basically just one single primary use case that I would buy an iPad for, one thing that I can't do with my existing devices, which is currently just my laptop and my phone. And that's handwritten notes that are captured digitally. And on this note, again, this might be, maybe we won't be really able to connect it to health, but just like extending like our human abilities. For me, it's just, I write a lot of handwritten notes because I actually sometimes enjoy handwritten notes, and especially now at university, like studying maths, or in my case, learning Korean, like writing in Korean. I do that on paper, right? But all of that information is currently just being lost at a certain point because I just throw these pieces of paper away because I don't like, you know, starting like folders and collecting the notes and all that kind of stuff. And so for me, an iPad would be a way to, again, and, you know, we can discuss, you know, whether or not that's worth the price to have that ability, but it would allow me to capture all of that written information. And that could be, again, studying stuff. That could be, I don't know, like handwritten journal entries or something. And I don't know, right now, all of this is being lost. And with an iPad, I could capture this and I could, you know, leverage maybe that, you know, collected information in some other way, right? By just like being able to connect it to other ideas or things in the future and relate back to it. So that's sort of like the use case that I'm going for. And it's just only one single use case. So I'm not really sure if it is like worth it. Do you think having like captured notes and being able to capture notes digitally, which obviously makes them more flexible, you can transfer them more easily, you can like add things in the future, you can take things away. Do you think that's like a useful thing that's worth the price of an iPad?
Yeah, well, when you asked me about my use, I don't know why I didn't mention it, but I use it for school and note taking because my subjects are mostly all like maths, physics, calculus, algebra. They're all like most of them. So I can't type that down, but I just don't like using paper because I feel like I waste paper. Why would I use paper if I have my iPad? So I have an Apple Pencil and I just use it on GoodNotes. But it's so much better. And then sometimes I even want to have them, but I just print them out. For me, it's definitely worth it because I use it a lot. So it depends on the use you're going to give it, but yeah. If you know you're going to use it, I think so. The thing is, when you were saying like you're keeping those notes and you can reference them in the future because they're there, the problem is, like, were you to import a note, like a handwritten note to Obsidian or whatever, you couldn't link that to anything, could you?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest. I actually looked up on like Reddit, I believe, if you can actually do handwritten notes in Obsidian, which would be amazing. Because, I mean, that's basically what I was going to get back to anyway. We both have our second brains, right? Just a short recap, like the second brain is like this digital system for storing all of the information you collect digitally in one system that has a certain structure. And the idea is to make you super powerful in that sense with this system, because it allows you to actually have a much higher efficiency in terms of how the things you consume allow you to create new things, right? Because it's being captured in a useful system. And I think this would be like an extension of that system, because again, it allows me to do one more thing, which I'm currently doing in the physical world, where it's just being lost and I can't connect to anything, I can't store anything. I would now be able to store these things and maybe connect them. And I think we both have our digital system, right? It might be like slightly different hours. But we also talked about Readwise recently, right?
Yes.
And that as a tool to highlight things online and then connect it with our second brains. And to me, I've really made the experience. I really feel like, especially now being at university, where studying is sort of like my full-time job and learning new things is my full-time job, I feel like I have like a significant advantage over other people because I have this centralized system that allows me to really effectively like process information that's coming in, that's going out. And I feel like this is going to become like really valuable over the long term. And so I think it might actually be useful to invest in that small extension of that system with like having an iPad to add these handwritten notes into that system.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I again agree in that part, but at the same time, what I'm saying is like, you could potentially only store those notes. So that's good because that's something you couldn't do before. Well, you could, but not in the same system. But at the same time, why would you store them if you can't do anything with it? You can't link them to anything. You can't look for, like, you can look for the title, but the thing with Obsidian is the powerful search tool it is as well. So I don't know. I mean, I guess there could be. Did you find out the answer if you can do handwritten notes in Obsidian?
I think there's some extension that you can install, yeah, like a public plugin. I'm always somewhat skeptic about those. I don't know why.
I use so many public plugins.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, not that many, but I do use quite a lot. Do you not use any public plugins?
I think I use the database view. I think one. Yeah, which is really useful one. Because certain, so I keep like a collection of all of the movies that I've watched. So I actually have a separate, so I have an IMDb account for that too now, right? Where I sort of like collect what I've watched. And then for the important ones or the ones that I liked in particular, I will create like a separate page in Obsidian. And so I just have one page where every note which starts with this like...
with that tag,
tag that I've assigned to those notes where it's all being collected to have like an overview.
I do that with my unprocessed Readwise notes, and I have like a list which automatically generates, or for like I have this big topic which is health, so I have it could be considered an MOC. Do you know a mock? Do you know what that is? So map of content. The linking your thinking system, but I don't implement that completely, but I do have that. So I have this big note which is health, and when I write something about health related, I just tag it with, I could tag it with the health one, but I always use a specific, so I tag it with the actual note, but I also give it a specific tag. So I have a list with like the date, the name. It just automatically creates like adds so it's great. I love data view, it looks so nice. And I like the list view, not the data base view, which
I also always have the list view. I think it's so cool. We're both like a bit nerdy about our digital systems, like increasingly
we are sometimes I try to tell my parents and they're like, Irene, you're kind of weird sometimes.
I remember thinking of the days where we both started getting into that whole sphere of like productivity, and we both like had Notion accounts because Notion was cool back then, and it's still cool, right? But then we wanted to be even cooler, so we went with Obsidian, which is like this like a bit more niche product, right? The level 1 productivity nerd, he uses Notion. The level 10 productivity nerd uses Obsidian. Yeah, so we're in that sphere now, and I think, yeah, it's been a development.
Yeah, it has been. Oh, I remember you showing me, like, screen recording your laptop and showing me your apps and what you use, because I was curious. And I remember seeing the Things 3 app, and you were showing me how you used it. And I was, because I was interested in productivity, and I think I had Notion by that point. But I saw the Things 3 thing, and I was like, wow, this is so cool. He is so ahead. And then you had the BASB, so the Building a Second Brain. Like, you had that as something you were thinking about. And I asked you about it, and you just said, this is this thing I'm thinking about I'm thinking about exploring, whatever. And I was like, wow, I need to write this down. Like, look at this now. I don't know.
It's a process. And I think it's a really good example. I think we definitely both had like these times where we build these super cool systems and we use like templates online, or we build our own templates and we set up these workspaces, right? And then that was like a lot of fun. It felt like, oh my God, we're on this path to like maximum productivity. But then I think with both of us, we experienced times where you had built the system and then you didn't actually use it for anything.
Yeah.
Or just it just sat there, and then I didn't open the app for like a couple of months, and it was just a total waste of time. But I think this is, again, a perfect example of how, you know, sticking with something and sticking with an idea and just like coming back to it and allowing yourself to come back to something after you didn't spend time with something for a certain amount of time. How that really allows you to, in the long run, make significant progress in areas, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, I think we both just at a certain point, we always came back and we tried it again and we tried it again and we built a new template. And then we maybe realized we didn't actually need such a fancy template. And then maybe we switched things, but now we're at a point, and I guess like both of our systems have like room for improvement. But I feel like seriously, this digital system makes me so much more powerful. And this is like maybe coming back to my initial idea that I proposed. I really have this feeling. I mean, as a human being, you have a certain range of ability, right? I can run so and so fast. I can process this much information. I can obviously train both of these abilities. I can maybe train myself to run a bit faster or a bit longer. I can train myself to be able to process information quicker or something. But there's a certain limit to that. And that's just with the single unit of human, I'm just limited. There's a certain constraint in all directions, right? Like a circle of constraints that just keep me in this space. And technology allows us to expand that area of ability. Because, for example, if we didn't have any technology and I wanted to have a conversation with a person in China and then on the same day have a conversation with someone in Spain, with you, for example, that would be physically impossible. I would never be able to physically walk to China, have a conversation, walk back in the same day, have a conversation with you. Just completely physically impossible, right? But with technology, with a technology, for example, of planes, which allow me to get there quickly, I might even actually be able to do it without like any software or something. I could just use a plane. But I can also now, with this technology of having like video calls, I can very easily do that without actually even having to leave my house. So in that sense, like technology is really an extension to our abilities. And the second brain is like one example how we can extend our like intellectual abilities, our like knowledge processing abilities. And so I think it's like super useful and also super relevant nowadays, right? To keep up with this increasing speed of information, innovation, all that kind of stuff. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I do know I have a lot of work to do in using and actually better implementing my systems, but the amount of things I can do now that you just cannot do without it. Like, obviously technology has its downsides, like you get distracted, whatever, but if you know how to use it, and I don't completely know how to use it, speaking in like all its capabilities, it's amazing. Like, I don't know what Brian Johnson does with all the technology as available. He really takes like full advantage, I think, of that. Or maybe not full advantage because it's in another way. But if you're able to set up a system that works for you and control that and implement that properly, it's like a super human tool. I know that sounds really like exaggerated, but it's true. Like, it honestly is true.
Yeah, that's really how I think about it. So that's why I'm increasingly investing resources into technology. So, for example, also my business, it's a very good example. I started my business at the, you know, summer last year. So it's only been a couple of months, to be honest, right? But I definitely want to build a team around that business just to extend my ability to, you know, take on more clients and all that kind of stuff. But obviously, like, employees are somewhat expensive and it's also responsibility. So I don't want to move into that hiring space too quickly. But so what I've been doing instead in the, you know, in the meantime was, instead of paying employees to do extra work, it's just paying technology to do extra work. Because obviously technology is much cheaper than employees, right? But I can, you know, pay for a specific piece of software that will be able to take care of a specific set of to-dos or problems very efficiently and somewhat cheaply, at least in comparison to like hiring someone, right? And so even in my personal life, at university, I'm now seeing it, like everyone uses ChatGPT, or like most of them do. And I also do it, and it's been such a like game changer. And if I was to compete with someone who doesn't get to use that technology, then I would have like a significant advantage, right? I mean, maybe that person is still like significantly smarter than I am, so maybe they, you know, find a way to still outperform me. But it's still, you know, using technology intentionally and in the right ways really just makes you so much more competitive. And it really creates this big gap for people who don't use that at all. So I don't know. I feel like it's really worthwhile investing into that and trying to keep up with that in some kind of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, completely agree. And also talking about this, I really need you to show me your system, like whenever, but we need to schedule a call where you show me your system.
I mean, I did send you the screenshot once.
Yeah, that's not enough. I need an overview, like those YouTubers. You could do a YouTube video showing a walkthrough through my second brain in Obsidian.
Yeah, I could do that. I'll send Tiago Forte an email asking him if he wants to do one of those videos with me. Because, I mean, he does these exact videos with some people, right? Walking through their second brain. So yeah, maybe I qualify.
I mean, he does them with, like, Ali Abdaal and some people like that. But, yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm taller than Ali Abdaal, so I don't know why he wouldn't take me on. So I'm clearly...
You should text him. You definitely. Tiago will definitely call him my roommate.
I love how we keep calling all of these famous people by their first names, pretending like we know them.
Yeah, or Brian and Tiago. Yeah,
Brian, really sweetie. I mean, to be honest, that's also something. I mean, that's a whole different topic, but that's something I find really interesting. So I recently finished watching Friends, the series, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched it?
Yeah. I watched it twice.
And it's so weird because you watch it on your phone or your laptop or something, and you watch hours and hours on end of this show, and then the show is done. And I really thought like I had, in a sense, like lost these people. And it felt similar to like being in a breakup or like seeing a friendship break down or something. Even though I have never met these people in person, I have had no interaction with them. They know nothing about me. Even if they knew who I was, they probably wouldn't care. But still, because
real people.
Yeah. Because I guess for our minds, it's like difficult to separate those things because we see these people for so many hours and we see them speak and we see them go through their struggles and these like very human emotions. And so our brain just can't tell that that's just like on a screen. It just feels somewhat real because the emotions are actually real that you experience while watching that.
Yeah. Yes, it is true. And the thing is like, it's totally one-sided. So, and your brain still forms like an attachment to it. And it's one-sided. Yeah. Imagine how kind of dangerous that is and how, like, your brain does not protect you from that. So, I don't know. That's kind of strange because it's completely fictional. I mean, the ways you can trick your brain, like, there's definitely a book about that. About, like,
I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is also an example. I mean, technology is enabling me to spend time with these people, right? Because I get to watch them like at home and all that kind of stuff. And this might be like an example of how, you know, technology also creates problems, which is obvious, right? And for many people, I actually believe that technology creates more problems than it solves. Or at least it looks like that. But it was a good show. I switched to The Big Bang Theory now. Have you watched it?
I mean, I watched like a couple of episodes, but nothing beats Friends in those type of shows, I think. I don't know.
I also really thought that it couldn't beat Friends, and I'm not going to say that it does. But to me, it's a great replacement. It's very different, to be honest. In the beginning, I sort of didn't like that it's so unbalanced in the sense that it's like these four guys and this one girl. I didn't like that. I like the balance of Friends. But in terms of the cinematography, I think the style is very different, very similar. And then just like the characters and the setting, obviously like The Big Bang Theory is super science heavy, but I've been trying to actually also use that to get me into this like sciencey mood, right? Because I want to actually, I'm being serious, I really want to figure out maths. Maths has always, I've always been a great student, right? I never had problems at school, but maths has always been the one subject which always challenged me the most and where I always got the lowest grades in comparison to my other grades. And now I like really want to figure this out, because I feel like having access to the understanding of maths is also just like going to make me so much more powerful intellectually.
Yeah. Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. I have 7 hours of maths per week. That's like pure maths. And it can definitely like blow your mind. And not in a good way sometimes. But if you decide to get to like understand that, which it is difficult, because there's so many abstract things in maths that you can never actually like comprehend, like truly understand, which I definitely don't. And I'm in the basic level of maths. So yeah, I mean, it is good that you want to learn about that, but it's
yeah, and specifically I want to understand it too. So I'm really trying, that's like my general approach for university. I know this is much easier said than done, and it sounds good to say this, and it's much harder to implement it, but I really just want to understand the things and not like learn things by heart. Obviously, like in understanding things, you will still have to learn things by heart, like terminology and all that kind of stuff. But I really like, we're doing like linear algebra and calculus right now. So those are going to be the two subjects for my exam. And I really like want to understand linear algebra instead of just learning by heart, you know, what a determinant is, what an inverse matrix is, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, but the thing is, it's real, like it's completely made up. Like, what else? You know, have you studied vectorial? I don't know how you say this in English.
Vector spaces.
Yeah, vector spaces. Yes, exactly. I don't know if you have, but the whole concept is just completely made up. Like, people decided that these spaces had some properties, like, they're in common, and they decided that they were just going to call them that, and that's what it was, because they shared the same properties. But there's nothing really, like, that's just so abstract. Like, so at the beginning of the year, I tried to really understand it. And there was a point where I told my dad about this, because he studied math, like pure maths in university. And I told him about it, and he was like, Irene, stop trying to completely deeply understand, because you would not, like, you will not understand it.
That's so discouraging.
I know, but there's a point where you have to accept some things, because it is made up. Like, it is. Some people just, algebra is just made up. So, I don't know. I guess there's a point where you have to accept, because you will go down this rabbit hole of not understanding.
Yeah, I mean, fair point. To be honest, obviously I'm not a mathematician, so I can't really even evaluate whether or not I fully agree or not agree with that.
Yeah, I know.
But I feel like in many things, you can at least get to a certain level of understanding what certain things represent, right? And for example, in linear algebra, you can definitely get to the point, I believe, where you understand what a matrix, what a vector actually represents, and how it might represent different things depending on how you look at it, right? I mean, with vectors, for example, you can look at it from like a mathematician's perspective, from like a computer science perspective, from like a physicist's perspective, and it means slightly different things. Yeah. Even though it's the same concept, but we'll see how it goes. I'm trying to just take this on. This also goes back to my one principle in my toolbox for life, which I wrote a blog post about, so go and read that. But this principle
linked
of
in the
just,
show notes.
Yes, but this principle of when you realize or acknowledge that you have a difficulty or problem or whatever it might be, like something that's difficult, challenging, something you feel a certain resistance towards, that if it's useful to solve that because it would have some kind of benefit for you, that you try to actually confront it like head on. And in my case, I've always tried to avoid maths. I've always tried to get away from it. I've always tried to, you know, pass the exam, but then not think about it again. But now finally, after like years of, you know, high school and middle school and elementary school, I want to take it on head on or face it head on and see if that might change my relationship with it.
Yeah, that's really good. And it will definitely change your perspective with it. Because, I mean, I find, I like, maths was like my favorite subject. That sounds kind of nerdy, but it was, and it is, I mean, it's honestly like understanding and trying to understand, even though there's things you will not understand, just having that approach, which is what you're saying, that's great, and it'll definitely change your perspective for sure. And I think you're a person that likes systems and finding connections, so you'll definitely enjoy it. Like, I don't know why you don't, it was your least favorite subject, because I think, like, I think of you as a person who would enjoy maths.
Yeah, I yeah. also don't get that, because it's a whole system, right? It's made up of like fundamental rules that you just apply. And I think there's this law of incompleteness, which is stating that fundamentally maths can't be fully consistent. That's a whole different thing, right? But still, fundamentally, you have a certain system, right? Made up of like very fundamental rules. For example, like you can't divide by zero. I'm sure there's a proper explanation to it that I don't have, you know, at the, you know, just in mind right now, but you know, you have the set of fundamental rules, and then everything else is a combination of that, and obviously new terminology gets introduced, a new certain concept, and these rules get applied in different contexts. But it's a system, so I should be able to, like, once I figure out the system, I should fall in love with it and quit my degree and become a mathematician and live in a basement, and yeah, that'll be my life.
Yeah,
and we'll, I think we should do our next theory. Yes, what? I think we should do our next podcast in Morse code. We should communicate in Morse code on binary or something.
Oh my god, we could do like ASMR Morse code. Like,
yeah. That'd be great. I mean, we were both studied in England, right, at the sporting school. And I actually had this one guy, his name was Matthew. And we actually did give each other notes with either regular text or with Morse code. And the job was, until the next time we would meet, for the other person to translate that either back into text or back into Morse code. So
that's funny. Yeah. That's cool, actually. That's interesting. Was cool.
Yeah. I kind of want to embrace my nerdiness a bit more, because I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I really feel like the people who make it their top priority to expand their like intellectual abilities and expand their knowledge in whatever form, both in form of like memorized knowledge, but also in the sense of captured knowledge in like a digital second brain, for example, those people really are always the most powerful in the end. Of course, yeah. I'm not saying that all of the other things aren't important, right? You need to take care of your health, right? Otherwise, you're just going to die early and all of it is going to go to waste. But it is really so powerful, and I envy the people who really prioritize that and just make their minds like these powerful tools. Because often, like, when we think of technology, I think everyone agrees it would be nice to always get the best model, like the top tier model, like the biggest, newest iPad with the best processor, same for a laptop, same for a phone. But so seldomly we look at ourselves like these technologies and think about how we can improve our internal like processor and our like display high quality and all that kind of things. But I mean, our body is a system of technology in a sense.
So
why wouldn't we prioritize to upgrade us as much as possible?
Yeah, that's completely right. I mean, that is the whole focus. I don't know, we have to try.
So let's become robots.
Yes, transhumanism.
Yes, that's an interesting topic. I mean, in a sense, we've talked about this, because the whole idea of transhumanism is extending the human's abilities through merging the human with technology.
Yeah.
And like often when you think of transhumanism, you have this image in mind of like a human with a robot arm or something, like these cyborgs. Like a cyborg.
Yeah.
And that's obviously, that definitely falls under the category of transhumanism. But in my opinion, and I did a presentation about this topic at high school, right, which got a perfect grade. Just putting it out there.
Just... okay.
For some credibility. I really believe we're already in this phase. Our phone is already an extension of us. The only difference being that it's not physically connected to us, right? We hold it in our hand, but we can still lay it off. But we're already so dependent of that, and it extends our ability as humans. So I totally consider phones and laptops and headphones to be extensions of our human abilities. And in that sense, they're like transhumanistic like things or ideas to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. I had to write this essay about transhumanism for philosophy in 2 years ago, I think. And I took it seriously, but not that serious. So I didn't take it seriously, basically. And I'm regretting it now because it's such an interesting topic. And I wish I had like that, you know, how I have my AI project that I can just go back to and be like, this is a summary of everything that I could learn about it. So transhumanism is kind of like this. It's such an interesting topic to write, like to think about and to expand on. So yeah, I'm gonna write that down on like topics I want to learn about, because I have like this huge list that is never gonna end and I'm never gonna like know all of that. Like I wish I could know everything, but it's just no. So I'm gonna write it down. Like,
yeah, fair point. Of course it's like impossible to know everything, but then again, like now that I'm starting to embrace studying, right, which is totally new for me, but now that I'm doing that and that I want to commit to this journey, I look at other people who are like really successful, and often they're, to be fair, often they're like of an older age, right? Their experience in their fields. But I feel like there is a certain set of people who basically have an overview over everything.
Yeah.
They might not be experts in everything, and they're probably the first ones to agree that they're not experts in everything and that they don't know everything. I think there's this famous like Greek quote, right?
Yeah.
Like the wise people know that they know nothing or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I only know that I don't know anything or something like that. Yeah, I know it's something in Spanish, not in English.
Yeah. But still, I feel like there is a certain subset of people. And did you see how I just said subset, which again is a mathematical concept? But there is a certain subset of people, I believe, who really have an overview over everything that is. They have an overview over the different topics that are relevant for us as, you know, humans. They have an overview over like economics. They have an overview over psychology, over the social structures and all other topics that relate to this life. Because, I mean, you have to think about it. Obviously, there's so much going on. We live on this planet. There's like an endless universe around us. There's like a ton even going on this planet. But it's not, especially if we just look at our planet, it's not an infinite list of information. At least not on the like broad level. It's a finite amount of knowledge.
Yeah.
That technically you could probably get an overview of, right? So yeah. I think it should be possible.
Yeah, it's a large amount of knowledge. But yeah, you definitely meet these people that know from this and from that. And I think we can definitely be that people if we like read. And the thing is, it's not only reading, it's because I read stuff about biology sometimes, and then I read some stuff about, I don't know, philosophy or whatever, and like I think I know about it, and then I want to talk about it, and then my knowledge is not there for some reason. So there's a thing, yeah, that these people like know the knowledge, like have read the knowledge, and I don't know, but they also know how to explain the knowledge and talk about it, which I feel is also like a great part of it, because you can read about it and still not be able to talk about it. So that's something I really want to focus on as well, because it's also an important part. Like, why would you want to know about it if you can't talk about it?
Yeah, because obviously we want the social approval and credit for knowing about many things and be respected and get many followers on LinkedIn.
No, like definitely not, but when it comes up in a conversation, being able to explain it, like that's important.
And even like notice the connection between one, like the topic of conversation and some totally like seemingly unrelated other topic. But I think this again really comes down to like having an overview. Like the strategy that I'm really applying at university now is trying to build these memory trees for different subjects so that I get an overview first, which then allows me to take a specific piece of information and place it in that tree. And then it's much easier, at least for me, maybe that's just also the way I think, but it's much easier for me to retain that piece of information and to connect it back to other things, because it has a place and it's not just floating around.